This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Guard Your Heart, was delivered on November 3rd, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Just pray that it will further your kingdom. We know that it by just the feeling that we get, that it's all for good. And we just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Dennis. Go ahead, ushers. Hey, also, if you have prayer requests, praise reports, just put it on the tear-off tab, drop it in the blue acrylic bucket at the greeting table. And one more thing, Auntie Emmy, happy birthday. Stand up, Auntie Emmy. Yay! 28 years young. Yay! Ooh, we got so much stuff going on. Such a beautiful day. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you for all of you who came out on Thursday night to pass out candy and hot dogs and chili. We had a fantastic time being the hands and feet of Jesus and just giving the children an alternative from going door to door by doing hot dogs, chili, trunk or treat. And it was a blast. And we did have some extra candy, so you might have found it at the table. If not, the rest, we're going to feed it to your children right now and send them home with you after church. Yeah? They said they're going to feed them the candy and send them home with me after church. And I said, Christy said fine. All right, so you got your Bibles. Okay, you open up to the center. You come to, okay, and then after Psalms is? Okay, so turn to Proverbs 4. So if you have your bulletin, the first page is correct. The second page, I made a mistake. It's last week's one, so don't pay attention to the second page. That's why we ask you to bring your Bible. We make these mistakes on purpose, so you say, oh, I wish I had my Bible. So bring your Bible every week. So if you're in Proverbs 4:23, that's a good place to highlight, to get a pen and underline it. If you have it on your iPhone, you can use that. Just don't be texting and pretend you're reading your Bible. Because even if I cannot see, but God can. Yeah. Stop looking at your longs, Ed, and what's on sale at Macy's. Yeah, we can do that afterwards. Proverbs 4:23. Solomon writes this. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. When Solomon here, he writes this, he refers to guarding the heart. He really means like the inner core of a person, the thoughts, the feeling, the desires, will, and choices that make a person who they are. The Bible tells us that our thoughts often dictate who we become. The mind of a man reflects who he really is, not simply his actions or words. That's why God examines the heart of a man, simply his outward appearance and what he appears to be. Sometimes, you know, we can look good on the outside, but the heart inside, kind of yucky. Yesterday, we got up early, and I convinced my wife to wash her car. And if you look at her car, it's super shiny. She did a really, really fantastic job. And I was so proud of her. Then she said, the outside is clean, but the inside is dirty. Oh, it's like a Pharisee. It looks good on the outside, but inside, no good. And she looked at me like, okay. So maybe today we clean the insides. You know, sometimes we can look really, really good on the outside, but inside, just all full of yuck. And sometimes you can tell, yeah, when the outside look good, but the inside not good. You can tell by the actions, by the words. Proverbs 23:7, if you want to turn more over from 4 to 23. For as he thinks within himself, so is he. He says to you, eat, drink, but his heart is not with you. Yeah, sometimes what we think we are, we become. And it's because of what we think, we become what we think. So one of the verses is, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 27:19. As in water face reflects face, so the heart of a man reflects man. Yeah, so your heart reflects what you inside. You know, and you know, there are many diseases and disorders that can affect the physical heart. There are many ailments of the spiritual heart that can impair our growth and development as a believer. And there's things that harden our arteries due to cholesterol, the plaque scarring our artery walls. See, the hardening of our spiritual heart can also occur. You know, not only our physical heart can get hardened, but our spiritual heart can get hardened. And it occurs when you and I, we get presented with God's truth every week, yet we refuse to acknowledge it, accept it, or obey it. Psalms 95:7-8. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you would hear his voice, okay, today, right now, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the wilderness. Okay, when they were in the wilderness, they hardened their heart, they refused to obey. See, a hardened heart is as useless as a hardened lump of clay or a bag of cement. You ever lift a bag of quickrete out and it becomes hard and you cannot mix it and pour it anymore? It's just a big, like a rock. I mean, the only uses I found for that is store it in the cement form and it'll take up a cubic feet of cement. Right? You ever had to stretch cement? And they run out of cement right at the end of a pour. And they tell you, hey, go get the cement stretcher. And you're thinking, what is a cement stretcher? You know what a cement stretcher is? A rock. Because you throw it in the form and the cement goes up. And you throw another one and throw another one. And that's a cement stretcher. Unlike a lumber stretcher, which I don't think you could find. Yeah, and so a hardened heart is as useless as a hardened lump of clay, a hardened bag of cement. And nothing can restore to make it useful. And the writer here of the psalm warns against hardening our heart, as Israel did in the wilderness, by resisting God's will. And it was so sad that they did. In the Old Testament, the word heart is used like some 800 times, but more than 200 times it deals with our thought of life, our emotions, the wellsprings, those things that motivate, the things that mold us. The Bible calls that the heart. Some call it the thought of life. Why is it so important? Why did Solomon tell his sons, above all else, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life? Because the thought of life controls the rest of your life. If you tell me what you think, I'll tell you who you are in life. What you think is what you are. Thoughts control your life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Your thoughts, positive, negative, good, bad, controls your attitudes. Your attitudes are the sum of your thoughts. Your attitudes lead to action. So here's the first point. Number one, change your thought. Change your thought. Romans 12:2. This is a good chapter. I love Romans. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Transform by the renewing of your mind. Would you underline that? We have to renew our, we cannot think like how we used to before we came to Christ. We need to let the word transform or change our mind so that we think differently. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. Protect what comes into your mind. And when it comes into your mind, decide whether it's good or not. If it's good, deposit in your heart. You know, Pastor Wayne once said that your mind is like the control center. And if a thought comes in, if it's good, you say good. You let it drop down into your heart. If it's not good, you say, I reject it, and you send it out. Physically say that, because we can say, you know, just if we dwell on those bad things, then, you know, it might sink into our heart. And that's why we got to really protect our heart. You know, like earlier this week, I was flipping through the TV channels, and the movie Halloween was on. It's a classic, man. And I used to enjoy watching it. It's like, man, but it's like, oh, I know my wife would have fits, man, if she see me watching that in the house. She really guards our household. So I was watching it a little while. It's like, oh, better stop. So I had to stop, change the channel. But no, I'm not. Even though it's like, I know it's not going to have any power over me, because greater is he that is in me. But it's such a classic movie. So it's like intense, especially when you see him sit up, turn his head like, whoa, woo. And so, but I had to like, okay, stop right there. And reject it, move on. And for me especially, I got to watch over my heart, because I love to watch like action movies. Yeah? How many of you seen Last Blood? Only me. Seriously, where are the real men in this church? Man! I took my wife, oh, I had to finally reject that thought, reject that thought, reject that thought. Because, you know, when he gets revenge, right? Yeah, kill him, but reject that thought. Come on, seriously, no, you guys just don't like raise your hand, huh? Okay. Lord, let me talk about lying next week, okay? Yeah! No, really, I love, any of you guys love action movies? Like, yeah. So those of you who like action movies, we really got to guard our heart. We can watch it, but don't let it get into our heart. Remember, we might act out Rambo in our community. Right, and we do not want to do that. Okay? So we got to, and I think the one way we can really change our thought is if we keep digging into God's Word. Every day, get into His Word, get into His Word. And of course, God's Word is good, and we get it in our minds, and we deposit it in our heart, and then, you know, our heart gets changed and gets renewed and gets transformed. And that brings us to our next point, number two, keep God's Word in your heart. Psalms 119:11, I have hidden your Word in my heart that I may not sin against you. You know, when they say hiding or keeping God's Word in our heart, that is a deterrent to sin. This alone should inspire us to memorize Scripture. You know, are funny, you know. I can remember lyrics to a song back in the 70s. But when it comes to Scripture, it's like, oh, how is that, yeah? It's like, I can remember some Scriptures, but for the life of me, it's like, where is it? I forget the address. So it's good to remember the Scripture and the address, because somebody's going to ask, where does that come from? Oh, the Bible. Where in the Bible? The Old Testament. Where in the Old Testament? You know, it's like, so we memorize Scripture, but the memorization alone will not keep us from sin. But we must put the word of God into work in our lives. And you use it as a guide for everything we do. And if we don't know the word, then it's going to be hard for us to use it as a guide. It's like having a map but not opening it. And this is our map. Proverbs 4:21. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Solomon says, get his word and listen to what it's saying. Do not let it depart from you. Keep them. Matthew 12:34. You brood of vipers. How can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. Aha. So sometimes what you get in our heart, the overflow comes out of our mouth. So if you say something and you say, where did that come from? Check what's in your heart. Sometimes I say stuff and it's like, uh-oh. Where did that come from? Something's corrupting my heart. I mean, you guys say it when you drive, right? Right? Don't lie. I know you guys say it when you drive. I'm for the most part, I don't swear. I just say like, oh, you knucklehead, which still is bad because I'm cursing a creation of God. Psalms 19:14, I love this scripture. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. You know, David asked God to approve his words and reflections as though they were offerings brought to him to the altar. You know, when we wake up each day, we get to determine that God's love and will guide us to what we say, to what we think. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's what we need to do. And think about, sometimes how many of us use words that it's not acceptable to the Lord? Okay, we got some honest people. Some. I got work to do, man. I got a lot of work to do. Woo. Help. My help comes from the Lord. Okay, number three, we got to persevere under trials because you know what? Trials. How many of you know that trials can make your heart bitter, can make your heart turn, can make your heart question God, can make your heart say, wow, how come? Romans 5:3-5. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You know, if we don't understand what trials are for, to make us perfect, mature, complete, lacking in nothing, then, man, when the trials come our way, and I say when, because it's going to come your way, we can get super bitter and angry with God. Remember like I told you the other week when I was pouring cement and it just poured rain on my cement? And I went up to God and looked, really? Seriously? Come on, I'm your servant. I preach your word. And the heavens rained down. And James came. He seen the cement look like, you know, I would say that word, but I would not say it. Nobody, you know what's in my heart. But then I was like, come on. I still haven't understood why that trial came my way. Maybe it was to say, ask for more help instead of doing things on my own. But I do things on my own because, I don't know, I just like to hear God when I'm working by myself and doing stuff. But yeah, if you don't know what the trials are there for, man, you're going to get mad. You're going to get bent out of shape. Sometimes I do, and because I don't understand why things happen at a certain time. And I asked God, why? And he doesn't normally answer me. I got to just keep reading the Bible and learning. But times, there are going to be times where you don't feel the Lord's presence or feel like he's listening to your prayers. We just got to dig harder into his word. Persevere. Trust that as the Bible says, that he's completing a good work in you. Believe that the Lord will prevail in all things. And as you persevere, you will continue to grow in godliness and your heart will be strong. Because if you don't persevere, I think that will be the beginning of the spiritual hardening of your heart. And if you need help in persevering, look to the left, look to the right, look in back of you, look in front of you. This is your family. Enjoy them. Get along with them because you're going to spend eternity with them, right? And even if you kind of have differences, too bad. Just get along with them because you're going to spend eternity with them, whether you like it or not. And I hope you like it, right? Persevere on the trial. And then number four, check your heart with the Bible. Check your heart with what the Bible says. Psalms 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. David asked God to search his heart and mind and point out any wrong motives that may have been behind his words. Would you pray that? Would you like, hey, God, search my heart. Know my heart. Try me. Show me what is going on with my heart. Show me stuff I need to fix. Help me remove the rubbish that's in my heart. You know, the Bible says the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. When you read the word, it just like reveals stuff to you that you just got to cut out, you know. Anybody enjoys surgery, getting stuff cut out? Not really, but it's painful, right? But the word of God does that. It cuts out the stuff and it changes you, performs surgery on you. And David asked, search. He said, search me, know my heart. You know, how do we do that? How many of you have a car? Okay, how many of you, when you know, on the car, what is that thing in front of you? Your dashboard. Yeah, and yeah, your steering wheel, your dashboard, right? You're supposed to be in the back seat. Jesus is supposed to be driving, okay? Yeah. So there's a dashboard on your vehicle, and as you drive along the road, your dashboard tells you how fast you're going, right? Right? So you know how fast you're not breaking the rule. It tells you how much gas you have, right? Unless your gas gauge is broken. Then get it fixed. How many of you, your check engine light is on? Okay. How many of you, your maintenance required light is on? Yeah. There's so much information on your dashboard. Temperature, and some of you have oil pressure, the fancy cars anyway. And if you look at your engine driving, and you see your engine temperature going to the red, do you keep on driving, ladies? What do you know? So, okay, there's all that information on your dashboard in front of you. What would the dashboard of your heart look like? Oh, anxiety, whoa. Oh, okay, green lights, red lights, yellow lights, you know? Red lights might be impulses that your soul wants to do something, and alarming, you know, don't go there, right? Don't go there. Maybe you're starting to drift away and the maintenance required light is going on. Read your Bible, check it out, reset. You know, the green light, oh yeah, I'm doing good, everything's good. All the lights on my dashboard are off. There's no little, that thing that shapes like a tire. For a long time, I couldn't figure that one out. That means you need air in your tire. Hello. Yeah. And, you know, so what would the dashboard of your heart look like? Would there be warning lights? Are they all off? Everything is set. Your oil is good. Your tire pressure is good. Your car is running at the right temperature. You know, what's the dashboard of your heart? What would it look like? Is there warning lights blinking? Maintenance required. Hurry up. Get in the Word today. Get a pen, get a paper, and write down some things that might be a warning light for your heart. Make a list of things that belong on the dashboard so that you have clarity. So you know the caution. You know, like when you walking past that bar and you really want to go in. It's like, oh, the warning light comes on. It's like, oh no, Lord, but I need to witness to them. Really? 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 Wait outside and give them a ride home and then witness to them. You know, if you know you cannot handle the temptation of alcohol, then don't even go. That's the warning light. Yeah? I like to walk down the liquor aisles in the store, the cold beer, because it's so cool. You know, like in Safeway with the dairy and that's my favorite aisle. I can stay in there and just cool off all day. But if that's a temptation for you, you know, when you're grocery shopping, don't go down that aisle, period. It's the warning light going on. If you walk in and you see one good-looking girl and your head, wow, the warning light. Don't look. I reject that thought. And for you ladies, if you see one good-looking guy built like Pastor Aaron, whoo, you say, no, I'm not. I'm married. I'm sorry, I'm not looking. I reject that thought in the name of Jesus. What is the warning light saying? You know, like James, when you see that bowl of candy and you were filling your pockets this morning, I've seen the warning light going off. No, in the name of Jesus, no. You know, it's like, what is the warning light, the dashboard of your heart saying to you? Write down some stuff. You know, write down some stuff. You know, like, we're going to drive past Tokunaga's, and I don't need a thing, but I turn in there anyway. Okay, my wife told me not to spend money on fishing supplies. Just borrow from James. Okay, Lord. But you go in there and you tempted to go, you know, like, hey, my wife, what if she said, oh, Macy's is on the way home, I'm going to stop. What does the warning light on your heart say? No? Yeah? Okay? No? The spooky thing is when my wife walks into Macy's, hi, Christy. She's like, oh, they know your name. Oh. If your wife walks in Macy's and they know her name, be worried. You know, like if you have your credit card and it's at its max and you're only paying the minimum and you want to shop on Amazon, the warning light says, don't, but you do. You got to write down these things as your warning lights so that you know, because we have to guard our heart, for from it flow the wellsprings of life. Amen. Philippians 4:4-7, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then Psalms 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David, that was David's prayer after he was found out with his sin with Bathsheba. He said, Lord, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. We need to protect what we let into our heart. Because if we let the wrong stuff in, then it'll do damage. And if we keep letting the right stuff in, it'll push out all the wrong stuff eventually. You know, when we clean, when we get cleansed, it's not from the outside in, it's from the inside out. Once we cleanse our heart, it'll show on the outside. And we keep it clean by allowing stuff that's good in our heart and protecting our hearts. Amen. So we're gonna. You can put away your notes. Sorry about the boo-boo in the notes. Just to let you know that I am human. I make mistakes. All right. I'm not above anybody else. But we're gonna take communion. Ushers, Pastor Aaron, who's doing communion? Am I doing communion? You doing communion? James doing communion? I got any volunteers to communion? Anybody? Okay, I will. Ushers, can you go and pass out the elements? We do communion the first Sunday of the month. And it's a good time to remember our Lord, right? Jesus commanded us to do communion, to remember him. Remember what he did for us on the cross. Remember when he hung on the cross and he was up there suffering, nails in his hands and in his feet. And then to check if he was dying, they poke a spear in his side and blood and water poured out. At the Last Supper, when they was in the upper room with his disciples, Jesus took that bread and he broke it. He broke it. This is my body. This is broken for you. And his body was broken, was shredded, was bleeding. He did that for you and me. He said, that's why we do communion. And then he had the cup, right? He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. The blood of Jesus, which washes away our sin. So when we do communion, we need to make sure that we take a little bit of time. We meditate on what Jesus has done for us. We pray and we ask for forgiveness. We just think of, if anything, we have any issues against each other, we just ask that they will be moved and we will be forgiven. So as the ushers are continuing to pass out the elements, I'm going to pray with us, and then we're going to take it together. So if you have the elements with you, you can bow your heads and close your eyes. If you don't, just be alert for them passing it out. Lord, you have commanded us to take communion. And Lord, as we take communion, we do so to remember the thing that you have done for us, the bloodshed, the broken body, the suffering, all because you loved us. And Lord, we do this to remember, to be grateful, to be thankful, so that we can also let other people know what you did for them too. So Lord, this morning as we take communion, we ask that you would examine our hearts, that you would forgive us of our sins, that you would cleanse us, that we would take communion in a worthy manner. And as we do this, Lord, help us to remember and never forget the things that you have done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Everybody, God. So on the night that Jesus was betrayed, if you could picture them, they kind of sat on the floor and they kind of leaned on each other. And Jesus, he washed the disciples' feet, and then he got some bread and he broke it. And maybe at that moment they kind of didn't understand what was going on. I don't think they realized what was going on until he was crucified and they rose, and he rose from the grave. Then they're like, oh, that's what he was saying. The light finally went on, kind of thing. But he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And I don't think they pictured him being beaten so badly that he was almost beyond recognition. And then he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Take this, do this often in remembrance of me, remembering what he did, so you may take of the bread. And then he took the cup that represented his blood. This is the blood of the new covenant. It's poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Drink, take this in remembrance of me. You may take up the cup. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. You have shown us something that we can do to remember what you have done for us. Man, what a wonderful thing. Even though we may have not loved you at one point in time, but you did that for us anyway. And not just for us, but for all those who are out there still waiting to repent. So Lord, thank you so much. We pray that we would never forget. We would never take for granted the sacrifice that you made for us. We thank you and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Would you give the Lord some thanks? Would you stand and join us? Thank you, Amy, for making us such wonderful bread. Amy makes this communion bread for us every month, you know. And so we are so grateful that we don't have to use that store-bought processed things, but she makes it for us fresh every month. We ready? Okay, we're going to sing. I want to hear you guys sing. I want to hear you really sing. All right? Go for it.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.